We'll read verse 1 through 5 again, limit our reading as we're in the beginning stages of this series of messages. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. We began last week looking into a series of messages from Genesis, a study through the book of Genesis. We've entitled In the Beginning. The name Genesis literally means beginning. And the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. Many things are found in Genesis where they first are found in human history. And in the beginning, God, in the beginning of time, in the beginning of creation, but as we saw last week, not in the beginning of God, because God had no beginning, no end. God is eternal. God is omnipotent. God created all things. God is laid before us in that statement, in the beginning, God, as the unchangeable, eternal, all-powerful, sovereign, maker of all things, God. I want to read that paragraph I read to you last week from one commentator regarding those four words. In the beginning, God. These first four words of the Bible form the foundation for faith. Believe these words and you can believe all that follows in the Bible. Genesis provides the only authoritative account for creation, meaningful for people of all ages, but exhaustible by no one. The divine record assumes the existence of God rather than seeking to prove him. Just as the Bible begins with God, so he should be first in our lives. In the beginning, God. Four words. And as the commentator said, if you are sound on those first four words of the Bible, the rest of the Bible won't give you any trouble. God help us to really examine ourselves, what we believe about those four words. We're living in the last days. We're living in the days when many are going away from the faith, going away from truth. We're living in the day and time where man, with his advances, keeps propagating the lies that they call facts. They operate on the principle that something that is repeated often enough soon becomes assumed truth. But in the beginning, God, that is truth. And it takes priority over all things that man has to say. And the Bible is a book of facts. The Bible is a book of truth. And we need to believe wholeheartedly in the beginning, God. And understand what that tells us about God. And in the beginning, God, and what that tells us about Scripture. What that tells us about the Bible. In the beginning, God. Today we want to ask the question, is the book of Genesis trustworthy? Is the book of Genesis trustworthy? Is this book that begins with those four words, in the beginning, God, is the book of Genesis, is the book of the beginnings trustworthy? And we would say as strongly as we could, yes, it is trustworthy. The book of Genesis is an eyewitness account. It's an eyewitness account of the many beginnings that are listed within its pages. We find creation, we find sin, salvation, the flood, the beginning of nations, the beginning of languages, the beginning of covenants, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the beginning of the nation Israel, Israel being taken into slavery by the Egyptians as we're brought into the book of Exodus. We find many firsts. We find many beginnings. But is the book of Genesis trustworthy? I said yes. Genesis is an eyewitness account of many beginnings. In the beginning, God speaks to the fact that God is the one giving the eyewitness. God is the one speaking. God is the one saying, this book is trustworthy. This book is trustworthy because it is an eyewitness record from God Himself of these beginnings. In the beginning, God. You can believe that because of who is saying it. It is God saying it. You could read this, in the beginning I created the heavens and the earth, as reading it from God's perspective. Verse 3, and I said, reading it from God's perspective, and I saw the light, and I called the light day and darkness, and I, so on and so forth. The book of Genesis is trustworthy because it is an eyewitness record of these beginnings. And that eyewitness is God Himself. Look over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible didn't come in the old days according to the will of man, but the Bible came and Scripture came. The book of Genesis came as God moved upon holy, godly men and had them write these things. Genesis is trustworthy because it is the eyewitness record of God's creating all things. The book of Genesis is trustworthy because it is God speaking to Moses and having Moses record these things for us. We believe without reservation that the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, are all to be ascribed, humanly speaking, to Moses. He was a holy man. He was a godly man. And he wrote by inspiration, meaning God breathed. God instructed him. God told him what to write. And as the Holy Spirit moved him, he spake these words we read in the book of Genesis. We can't have a problem with those first four words, nor can we have a problem with all the words that follow that make up the book of Genesis. We must believe God is speaking, God is the one recording, God is the one witnessing these things, and God has given us these things as He directed Moses to record these things. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God, not a separate being, but God moved upon holy men of old. And there have been many books written over the years of human history, many that sound and look very impressive, but none of them come from the perspective of God, but this book we hold within our hands this morning. This is the Word of God. And we're to take it over all other writings. We're to ascribe to it the glory due to it. As it is the Word of God, we are to ascribe the glory to it as it is the Word of God. In the beginning, God tells us that God is giving us an eyewitness, because no one else had been created yet. Nothing else had been created yet. As far as we know, angels maybe had not even been created yet. This is the beginning of creation that God is revealing to us. There is nobody else there to witness. There is nobody else to see. There is nobody else to say God did this and God did that, but God Himself. In the beginning, God is an eyewitness record of what God did in the days of the Genesis, in the days of the creation, the days when He made all things. We need to take the book called the Bible serious. Serious. See, we're living in the day and time. So many things are going on. I use that expression a lot. But we're living in the day and time where the Word of God has kind of been pushed aside. Like it's not important anymore. We're living those days and times where it's been pushed aside and people don't even typically carry a Bible with them. Many times people go to the house of the Lord, they go to church, and they don't even bother to bring their Bibles with them if they know where they are. And that is a great fall, and that is a great failing of the day and time in which we're living, when we don't take the Bible serious. When we don't take the Bible as it is the Word of God. When we read the pages of God's Word, when we read the book of Genesis, we're to give it all the weight and all the authority of thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Moses was one of those holy men of God that spake as he was moved by God. And that's where we got the book of Genesis from. The entire book of the Word of God from. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture. And we believe this includes all, from Genesis to Revelation. But we understand in the context that the New Testament was in process. The New Testament was being written. The New Testament was being delivered. Most references in the New Testament to scriptures or to the scriptures are talking about the Old Testament. And we read here in verse number 16 that all scripture, that would mean all of those Old Testament books, all of those Old Testament words, all of those Old Testament things, is given by inspiration of God. Peter said, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we got the book of Genesis. God inspiring Moses to record these things. And as the Bible tells us that all things in Scripture, all Scripture is inspired, we certainly begin with the book of Genesis. The word inspiration, you ought to know what that means like the back of your hand. The word inspiration in this passage of Scripture, the word inspiration in relationship to the Bible, means God breathed. God breathed. All Scripture is God breathed. All Scripture has come by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as He moved and as He worked upon holy men of old. And the book of Genesis is reliable. The book of Genesis is trustworthy because it is God's eyewitness account of all of these beginnings that we find in its pages. It is God moving Moses to write concerning all of these things. It is inspired. It is God breathed. It is God's word. It is trustworthy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Should go without saying, but God doesn't like to leave things unsaid. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You think that's still true in 2023? That this book is God-breathed? That this book is profitable? Surely it's outdated. Surely it can be pushed aside. Surely it can be disregarded. Surely we can explain it away. Surely we can just ignore it. Can we? Can we? This book called the Bible, this book of Genesis that we're looking at, is trustworthy. It is God-breathed. And it is profitable. It is still profitable. It is still the best book that one can read. It is still the most profitable for your life, for my life, for our life. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. What role does the Bible play in your life? How many times did you open it this week? Not counting Sunday or Wednesday. How many times did you open it this week and give it the reverence due unto it? How many times this week have you opened the pages of this with that mindset? This is the inspired word of God. Holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This book is trustworthy. This book is profitable. School has resumed. I don't even know if they have books in school anymore. Everything's computerized. But symbolically, whatever capacity they are, this is the time of year when a lot of books are being opened. But how often is the book, the Bible, being opened, being read, being given the weight that it's deserving? How many people take what man has to say? How many people take what, quote, the facts are? How many people take what, quote, science says? How many people take what is manly in origin and give it more weight than those words, in the beginning, God? In the beginning, God. I tell you, when your kids go to school, they're not being taught about God. They're not being talked to or taught about Jesus Christ. They're not being taught, they're not being told that this book is inspired of God. They're not being told that it is profitable above all others. It probably won't even be mentioned. But God help us to mention it today. God help us to answer that question, is the book of Genesis trustworthy? Let us answer that with a resounding yes. It is an eyewitness record. It is an eyewitness report by God Himself of all the beginnings of Genesis. It is the words that God breathed. God inspired holy men of old to write. God help us to see it's profitable. Then moving through this passage and not ignoring the importance of what goes on to be said. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, teachings, truth. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is profitable. We need doctrine. We need teaching. We need truth. We need reproof. We need correction. We need instruction in righteousness. And God has inspired His word for all of these benefits. All of these benefits. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm sure the context identifies the man of verse number 17 as the man of God. Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, he reminds Timothy to continue now those things that he had learned, what he'd been taught, even from a child. He reminds him that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. He reminds Timothy it's given by inspiration to be profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and righteousness. That the man of God, most directly, that you, Timothy, or anybody in that place, in that position, that you may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But we know when we read scriptures like this, there is always that application to all God's people. And you can see yourself being instructed in this passage of scripture that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that you, that I, that we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished under all good works. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. The book of Genesis is trustworthy. The book of Genesis is an eyewitness record of the only one that was there to see all of this, God Himself. It is trustworthy because God spoke, God inspired, God breathed these words. Genesis in particular to Moses. And Moses recorded these words for us. It is trustworthy. We're to take the book of Genesis literally. Literally. We're not to take the book of Genesis mythologically, or as it's a fairy tale, or as a book we're supposed to interpret between the lines. It's God's word. It's God breathed. God gave it to the godly man Moses. Moses recorded these things, and we're to take what Moses reveals to us from God as literal. What I mean by that is we're to really believe it. As I reflect back on that statement, we're living in the day and time. The Bible tells us one of the signs of the last days would be a departing from the faith, would be a departing from those amongst those who really believe the book of Genesis. And there are many who call themselves Christian. There are probably some who call themselves Baptist, who do not really believe in the beginning God, who don't really take what Genesis says literally, who have bought the lie of Satan that it's just good reading, not the word of God. The book of Genesis, Moses would have wrote under inspiration as an eyewitness of God, recording as God instructed him. Moses would have wrote these things we're going to read about in the book of Genesis thousands of years, literally thousands of years after these things occurred. The book of Genesis is an easy book to count the years in. It's easy to look in the record of Genesis and see how long from in the beginning God to when Moses is leading the people of Israel and writing these things. Thousands of years. Moses most likely wrote at least the first five books of the Bible, and some say others. But Moses wrote these books, particularly Genesis, somewhere between 1500 and 1400 BC. The Exodus, the coming out of Egyptian bondage, took place somewhere around 1445 BC. And Moses died somewhere around 1400, 1405 BC. God spoke and God moved, God inspired, God breathed these things as an eyewitness account to Moses a long time after the fact. But don't you think, if God can speak his word, and God can speak forth, and God can give prophecy that will take place in thousands of years yet to come, don't you think if God can do that forward, that God could do it backwards? Of course he could. Of course he could. I heard about God's timing this morning. We need to wait upon the Lord, because the Lord says things that may be hundreds of years down the road, maybe thousands of years down the road, but they're going to happen with pinpoint accuracy. And if God can do that forward, then God can do that backwards. And God can inspire Moses, as he did inspire Moses, to write these things that took place long time before. I think about, when did Moses get these things? Very broadly, I would say, sometime during the wilderness journeys. Sometime when Moses was doing all that Moses had to do during these days, at some time or another, God breathed and God inspired and God had Moses record these things. We know when Moses went up on the mountain with the Lord and communed with the Lord, that it is said that he received the law. He received, I think it's called the book of the law, sometimes called the book of Moses, the law of Moses. So we think when he was there, up on the mountain with the Lord, we usually think, well, he got the Ten Commandments. All that time he spent up there, he got those ten things. We don't know what else he got. Because we know that the law is much more broad than just Ten Commandments. The law can be said to be made out of hundreds of commandments and instructions. But at some time or another, God inspired Moses to write these words that are contained within the book of Moses, the law of Moses, the law of God, or in our application, the book of Genesis. And so it's trustworthy. Look at Genesis 17. We could spend another hour just looking at Scripture that prove that God had Moses write at least the first five books of the Bible. The book of the law of Moses, whatever you want to call it. There are references to that testimony in the Old Testament. There are testaments to that truth in the New Testament. There are testimonies in that direction, several from Jesus Christ himself. So we could spend a lot of time. Let's just notice a few, though, that are very specific about God speaking and having Moses record. Exodus chapter 17, where we were last Sunday night, where we're going to be again tonight, maybe for another week. The 17th chapter of Exodus has three or four storylines that are very precious, very well known. Coming to the place where they had no water. God having Moses strike the rock to bring forth water. Their battle with Amalek. The wonderful imagery there of Moses holding up his hands. And Aaron and Hur staying those hands when he got weary. It's just a passage of Scripture that has several precious storylines. We'll spend some time looking at those on Sunday evening. But as he comes to a close here in the 17th chapter, verse 13 says, "And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." Notice verse 14. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Write this in a book. God was constantly saying that to Moses. He said it progressively, it seems, as things were happening. It certainly happened as he was stationary in one place or another, recording all of these things. These things we find in Genesis, some capacity or another, God said to Moses, write this in a book. In the beginning, God, write this in a book. Write this in a book. Chapter 24 of Exodus. Exodus 24, verse 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Chapter 34. Chapter 34, verse 27 and 28. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments, Numbers 33, verse 1 and 2. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies, under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. And these are the journeys according to their going out. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 9 through 11. Excuse me, chapter 31, if I said 30. Verse 9, and Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Verse 22. This same chapter. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and be of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto you, and I will bring it unto thee. And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, And Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark, the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death. Take this book, put it in the Ark of the Covenant, cause it to be read. This book, the whole book, of course, but this book, the book of Genesis, God spoke through Moses. And this book, the book of Genesis, is trustworthy. And we're to take it as it is indeed the word of God. Believe all of it after we lay that foundation in the beginning, God. I thought about John chapter 1. We won't turn there. But John chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's telling us that Jesus Christ was the incarnate God. Jesus Christ was the only perfect man. But as Jesus Christ is the Word of God, as Jesus Christ is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that tells us not only is Jesus the only perfect man, but because this is Christ, the Word of God, this is the only perfect book that there's ever been. The only perfect book is this book we have to read and to consider and to visit its pages. There are extra biblical texts, extra biblical resources that confirm for us the things that are found in the Pentateuch. Archaeological evidence confirms events that are found in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Traditions and customs from around the world. You can go around the world and find traditions and customs that seemingly are taken right from the pages of Scripture. But we don't believe these things. We don't believe the book of Genesis is profitable. We don't believe the book of Genesis is trustworthy because other texts support it or because archaeological evidence supports it. We don't believe this is the Word of God and is profitable because someone else agrees with it, or there are traditions found around the world that coincide or are in agreement with it. We believe this to be the Word of God and we take it as the Word of God. We see it as trustworthy by faith. We believe this is the Word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, I think it says, by faith we believe that the world were formed. How? By the Word of God. By faith. In the beginning, God, it certainly tells us that this book is trustworthy. This book is the Word of God. This book is to be believed. This book is to be exalted, and this book is to be put before any other book or any other source we might want to consider. We're to believe, we're to have faith that this is indeed the Word of God, and Moses and holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We're to believe that because God says it. We're to believe that. We're to have faith in that. Rather, there's any other source that accredits it or not. So in the beginning, God, we're beginning our journey through the book of Genesis. And it is indeed the Word of God. A commentator said something to the effect, get it exact. Just as the Bible begins with God, our lives should begin with God. Just as Genesis is the beginning of God's Word, the beginning of the book, our faith ought to begin with Genesis. Not omitting the first 11 chapters as is wont to be done in the day and time we're living in, but our faith needs to begin with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Let's stand. Have a verse.